This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Well, hi and welcome. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and this is an episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms. And today I'm continuing my podcast on lists. So if you didn't catch the first podcast, please go to vintagehomeschoolmoms.com and you will find it there. There are several ways to get to the podcast. And the first is to go to the website at ultimatehomeschoolradionetwork.com and then click on the icon of your show or favorite show that you are looking for. And the first podcast I did in regard to lists is Back to Homeschool Lists. And there I talk about all kinds of things associated with homeschooling and more than just, you know, getting ready for the day. I have a big picture and then continue to narrow it down as well as with some great handouts for you. So you can grab that at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Just click on Vintage Homeschool Mom and look for the podcast Back to Homeschool Lists. Another way to find your favorite podcast is to go to that front page as well and just use the search feature. You can do a keyword search or anything like that and find the podcast. And another way is to follow us. Yes, you can go to iTunes and find all of our shows. We actually have an Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network on iTunes. And you can also follow our feed just like a blog feed. You know, by following us and giving us a rating on iTunes, that really, really helps a lot. It just encourages our shows to be found and get in front of more homeschool families. Well, I wanted to give a shout out to Media Angels. You can visit mediaangels.com where you can find books, curriculum, classes, novels. It's the home of the Truth Seekers Mystery Series, and this is a three-book series for teens. Preteens read them as well. They also have a literature study guide explaining some of the elements of good fiction. Another is Homeschooling with Proverbs, where you can do a Bible class as an entire family. It is a wonderful tool. I've used it and created it years ago when I was looking for a Bible study to do with my family. It's really a fun study to do using the book of Proverbs and really taking time to roll up your sleeves and delve into the contents of the book of Proverbs. It just has so much information there. Well, today we are going to talk about household meals, shopping, and bill lists. I've done a series on organization, and I'm trying not to laugh here as I share this with you, but if you've listened to that series, you will know the disclaimer that I am not a very organized person. And when I say I'm not organized, let me preface it with my idea of organization means that when you walk in, everything is perfectly placed. You know exactly where everything you know, goes, or as my daughter says, everything has a home, and there's nothing on the floor. As I'm closing my eyes here and not wanting to look at a couple of the piles I have on either side of my desk as I record this, and you know, just some basic, just I want to call them rules, if you will, on what I consider being organized. If you consider being organized, you know, along those lines, then we're in the same ballpark. So one of the things I did was, you know, do a series on organization to force myself to become organized. And I have to say I am about, 45% there. So I'm getting excited. Some rooms are looking really, really nice, and some closets are looking really, really nice, and drawers and things like that. So it is coming along. Another is that I purposed to start creating lists. And again, I have this aversion to lists, and only because when I look at a list and see that things were not accomplished that day, it makes me feel like I failed. And so my, I don't know, what do you want to call it, a little defense mechanism maybe would be a good word for that, kicked in. And so I decided, well, if I don't create lists, then I don't have to worry about it, because there's nothing, you know, to aspire to, because there's no way to fail, right? I know, circular reasoning there. So I really started creating lists, and I'm not going to say I've been faithful to creating lists, but I definitely have lists for certain things, and that is, you know, going to the grocery store and things like that. Unfortunately, in this digital age, all of my great paper lists have gone by the wayside, and they're found on my phone. So when I was recreating a series of lists that I wanted to give away in a bonus bundle, I found that I had to go back and, you know, find lists that were on my phone. So one of the things I do is I have a list on my phone for different things. So I might have a list of grocery staples, or I might have a list that is specific to a specific store, where I know what stores that I purchase certain things in. Even if another store has the same product, I know, and I've done the research, that buying it at XYZ store, for example, is going to be a little bit cheaper. So one of the things I did for this podcast was come up with a list of things that you can print out and use. And believe me, I've been adding and adding and adding to the list, and I continuously find things I forgot. So I'm calling it the Master Household Shopping List, and I have it broken down into cleaning things, cooking, paper products, as well as personal products. And so this will just give you a form to jot things down, not necessarily taking all three or four pages to the grocery store with you, or shopping, you know, wherever you are going to shop, but just to give you an idea of, you know, what is on your list. And probably you're like me and keep some lists on your phone, especially if you have a smartphone. So one of the things that I want to share with you is, if you are a member of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network e-zine and mailing list, you will find that we give away bundles from time to time. And currently our bundle is composed of a series of lists that I've created. So if you would like that list, please join our e-zine family. And, you know, they change from time to time. So if you're listening to this a year from now, it may not be available. So you'll just have to email me at felice@mediaangels.com, and I will search to see if I can find that. Probably better yet, once that bundle has expired, I will put some of the pertinent lists on this podcast where you will find them. And this podcast is entitled Household Meals, Shopping, and Bill Lists. So let me say it again. It's Household Meals, Shopping, and Bill Lists. Okay, so why are we creating lists? We're creating lists because we don't want to go to the grocery store or the convenience store or any store for that matter and forget something on our list. So I think the big picture here, and I like to start with the big picture, is to look at what you're going to be doing as far as your schedule goes. Because, you know, as homeschool moms, we get something in our mind and we really want to go do it right then. And the reason we want to go do it is because it's in our minds and we're going to forget. So, you know, what I'd like to do is plan and schedule. And as you've also heard, if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, I have kids who play sports, so I always tended to bundle my trips. I didn't just run out to the grocery store and get one or two things. I mean, especially if you have little kids, you know that that would be a nightmare. So when I had an errand to run anyway, I just planned to pop into the store on the way there or on the way back, depending on what the items are that I was purchasing. And so the way I have broken it down, and I have a family of older kids at this point, and I did have the babies. They're just grown up now. So what I have done is divided up the jobs. Some of us like to grocery shop at one store or shop at another store. For example, I'm not going to go to the hardware store, and that's not even on my list, although you probably want to add that to a household. But for me, I have enough people in my family, and having a construction husband, they're always in the hardware store. So if there's something we need along those lines, they're purchasing that. So I really keep my list to the household, to meals, to different types of shopping, as well as bills. So let's just start with household. So I break up things into categories. So household is broken up into cleaning, managing others, and scheduling. And then I've got meals, which is buying food, cooking, planning and scheduling, baking ahead, which is different than cooking, because to me, cooking is meals and baking is, you know, more so the baked goods thing. And then shopping, I schedule that and break it up into several stores and then break it up further into who is going to do that type of shopping. And then I have paying bills, and I pay bills online, as well as making sure that I know when money's coming out of my account for an auto debit and things that have to be mailed. So that's just an overview of this podcast, and it is podcast number 97. And so if you want to find that handout, just go to podcast 97. So with the household, you know, you're going to have your master calendar, whatever that may be. If it's in a planning book, if it is, part of an online calendar, whatever that is, you're going to have that master calendar. And that's when you're going to schedule different things. Like I would schedule cleaning on a Friday because I wanted the house cleaned on a weekend. And besides, Friday was usually a light day for us because we left that for, co-oping and field trips and things like that. And then as the kids got older, that switched to Saturday because in high school in particular, kids don't play sports on Saturday, which was really nice. And because of that, that gave us the weekend to do some heavy cleaning. And, you know, we would pick up during the day or during the week and do some little things. So when I'm talking about heavy cleaning for us, our big cleaning is the floors. We have tile floors throughout our house, and that's a big ordeal. Carpeting would be so much easier just to vacuum, but tile is, it was supposed to be easier, but to me, it hasn't become easier. It is very resilient, and it looks really nice, so that's the other side of it. I think I have so much tile that's part of the problem. So that's part of it. You know, the big cleaning is going to be, you know, mopping floors, which means moving everything. The second thing, like the dusting and mirrors and things like that, we do during the week. So split up your cleaning. What are your heavy chores and when are you going to do those? Are you going to do those one time a week? Are you going to do those weekly? And put them on the schedule. The other is everyday chores. You know, part of what we do as moms is we manage others. So who has what job? Some families break it up into zones, you know, that they're going to have some of the kids cleaning different areas of the house. Some people like to rotate jobs. We were doing that quite a bit. I know my daughter likes to rotate jobs with her little ones. And we ended up stopping that because there were different jobs that certain people like to do. And it was just much easier to work at doing what you like doing. And then it wasn't such a chore. So we would have jobs such as, you know, one person is still setting the table that set the table when he was little, and he still is the one to empty the dishwasher because those are things he doesn't mind. The other one is in charge of picking up things in the living room. You know, our kids like to pull out blankets, pay all this money on air conditioning, but they like to pull out blankets when they're watching TV, so those get folded and put away, which would be nice to get folded and put away after, you know, we were all in our common living room area. But, you know, just things like that. So she makes sure things are picked up, and that's kind of a daily thing. Our little chores are daily. You know, cleaning up your bathroom, wiping down the mirror, you know, especially the kids with the electric toothbrushes or water picks and braces, you know, that's always something that needs to be taken care of daily. So, you know, just managing others, making sure that your kids all have chores and knowing when they're going to do that. And then the other is, you know, figuring out what your chores are going to be. What are you going to be in charge of? And typically when your kids are little, moms, you're in charge of everything. So it does get to be overwhelming. And I love it when I hear that, you know, husbands pitch in and help out. I think my husband had such a physically challenging job that by the time he got home, he was exhausted. So I never, you know, asked him to do very much, especially when I had the younger kids. And so, you know, we kept our fussy types of meals and things like that to the weekends. You know, even though grilling is very easy and that was something he liked to do, he does a lot more of that now when he comes home. And my daughter loves to grill, so she does it as well. But when they the kids were younger, that wasn't something that he did. So, you know, look at your family, look at what is available to you by way of help, and just see, you know, who's going to be available to do specific jobs, and then managing it, and then, of course, you know, scheduling your cleaning and things like that. Okay, so that's going to take us into meals, and that is either a fun thing for parents, especially moms, or not. And again, I love when I hear that dad's the cook. One of my good friends, she has a husband who loves to cook, and she doesn't do any cooking. In fact, several of my friends have husbands who cook. And that is not my husband's gifting other than the grill. And even sometimes we've had to ban him from the grill. You know, she is really blessed because he does like to cook. So when we come back, I'm going to give you some meal planning tips as well as some techniques of how I plan and schedule ahead. We'll be right back. Are you looking for a Bible study for the entire family? Well, I created one after searching for months for a study that would encourage my family to have group discussions, teach life truth, as well as point to God as creator. So, since I couldn't find one, I created one, Homeschooling with Proverbs. I didn't want to zoom through the book of Proverbs in 1 month, as some suggest. Instead, I wanted to savor and meditate on the words and have the entire family on the same page. If you want a Bible study written for the entire family with specific audios and activities from pre-K to adult, look no further. This set can be used studying one lesson per month or completed in 9 months or sooner. The option is yours. In this set, you will find audios, printables, and when completed, you and your children will have a beautiful keepsake notebook. Visit homeschoolingwithproverbs.com for more information and begin studying the book of Proverbs. Allow God's word to speak to you. Well, hi and welcome back. My name is Felice Gerwitz. This is episode 97, and you'll find it at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com or on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. If you have a smartphone, pull it out. Most of them come with podcast apps, and then you can just go in and search for vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. If you're on iTunes, please give us a rating. I would love to hear from you. That really just helps us get in front of more people that could benefit from these podcasts and other shows on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. And today our episode is about household meals, shopping, and bills, and also some lists to get you started there. So I've broken this up into household meals, shopping, and bill paying, and I'm going through some of these, hopefully you'll pick up some good hints and tips. So for meal planning, for me, the biggest hurdle is going to the grocery store or shopping for food. At one point, I belonged to an organic food co-op, and that was the biggest blessing in the world because they came to my house with these huge boxes full of produce, and I would split them up, and we had quite a few families that were part of the co-op, and it was really wonderful. And then after a while, the person who really was in charge of ordering all the stuff, she ended up moving. And so I didn't want to take on one more thing, and so the co-op kind of fell apart. But it was really great because I didn't have to go out and do all that fresh produce shopping. And now I really have cut the shopping down into three main stores. So there's the regular grocery store, and my dad shops there daily. So he normally picks up whatever little thing that isn't going to be found in the other stores where we shop. I shop at the big warehouse store, so you need a membership to belong, and that's my main shopping. I used to go like once or twice a month, and now because our family has gotten so large and I wasn't very good at bringing the list with me, and that's why we went to a digital list. So now I have it on my phone, and I have the main things that we're going to be getting. And then anything extra, you know, the kids go through our pantry, and that's one of the jobs that I've delegated is they go through. Our pantries are all very organized, and they can look at a glance and see if we need more ketchup or we need more barbecue sauce, which those two things they, you know, eat by the gallon. Don't even get me started on that. They think it's a food group, anyway, and you know, things like applesauce that they eat with their pizza, another, you know, strange thing they picked up, and, you know, just some other things that we're needing. So they will send me a list of certain things, and they'll just send me a text message, and then I'll copy that, and I have a note section on my phone, and so I add it to the regular grocery list. And so I can go through and delete or add, and it's just really an easy way to keep that list together. My other son is really good at finding, he goes to, you know, one of the bigger retail stores, and like a Walmart or a Target or something like that. And, you know, he shops at those because he buys certain things, like let's just say body wash is one of the things that my son, you know, we'll get there. So he'll go, you know, maybe two or three times a month. And so I can give him my list for that store, and then we'll just keep things in stock. One of the biggest keys, I think, to keeping everything organized is to realize what things are your staples. Like for us, it's the salsa. And, you know, my kids are into salsa and chips. Also avocados. And, you know, certain types of crackers and things like that. We buy like a big block of cheese, and my kids will eat quite a bit of cheese. Like when they'll come home and my son comes home from work, that's what he'll do, is he'll pull that block of cheese out while dinner is cooking, and he'll snack on that and crackers, and I'm okay with that. I used to be really uptight when, you know, the little kids wanted snacks. I am not a snack mommy. My daughter is a snack mommy, and I think it was because I didn't give them snacks growing up. I don't know what else to attribute it to. And so, you know, they will eat something like that, and I feel like that's more of an appetizer. So they'll take out an avocado and mash it and add some salsa and have some cheese, and I'm okay, you know, with that. Plus, my kids are all big, and I, you know, don't need to tell them to eat their food or eat their meals because they do. So you're going to have to look at, you know, how often you have to repurchase certain things and what you buy in bulk. I love homemade salsa, but that's not a favorite of theirs. And I think because, you know, sometimes families get addicted because of the salt content that is added to a lot of the foods that we buy prepared. So we don't buy anything that is prepared, like any kind of baked goods. The only cookies, which I always call it the band cookie in my house, is an Oreo. And so I think it's because I don't like them. I know. Can you believe I don't like Oreos? But everyone else in my family loves them, so they make up for me. So that's like the only cookie that occasionally I find in my grocery cart that I did not put there. So the big warehouse stores tend to not have things like that, that are bigger packaged like that. They have big packages, but they're smaller, amounts in it. Like when we buy a big box of crackers from one of the warehouse stores, they're individually wrapped sleeves in there. So the same thing with the cookies. So I'm not going to buy a big box of cookies that are packaged in like three or four in a little package. So that kind of avoids us from buying some of those prepared foods. But anyway, decide, what foods you need to buy. Keep a list of the regular foods. Put them either on a digital device or have it on a master list. And again, I have that for you in the post in Post 97 under Household Meals, Shopping, and Bill Lists. You can find that at Vintage Homeschool Moms. The other is planning and scheduling. So when are you going to eat what? It's the worst thing ever when it was like 4 o'clock and we were done with a long day of homeschooling. And then I was like, oh my gosh, what are we eating for dinner? So what tends to happen is people run out, they buy that rotisserie chicken, or they buy, the package of fried chicken at the grocery store. And it's just so much, running back and forth to the store. We can't even say, well, it's too expensive, because buying, one or two even rotisserie chickens for my family is under $9, and add a salad, to that and some rolls, and it's a very inexpensive meal for that many people. But even so, you want to have things planned and scheduled, and there is going to be a day for rotisserie chicken. It's going to be in our list, and there is going to be a pizza day. But I'm going to know when that is. And so again, that's going to be on your schedule, and you're going to know ahead of time. So that really helps you in planning and buying food. And then I started being very bored with what we were eating. The kids weren't, but I was. And so I started introducing some different types of meals, and I started making a very small amount of it just to see if they liked it. And it was a big hit, and that was great, because now I had an arsenal of some different meals that I could incorporate within my family. Not everybody likes everything all the time, and so that is something that I do note, because I would like to make, five different meals for everyone, but obviously we can't. We can't please everybody all the time. And as mommies, sometimes we want to. So I caution you about that. But, we just know that there are going to be some meals that are someone's favorite, and someone doesn't like it or doesn't like it as much, and, not expect them to eat as much, and that's fine. So that was one of the things that I did that I really enjoyed. And then I was going to share with you a cooking tip that I have, and that is that I do bulk cook, but not one day a month. And I know a lot of people do, like one day a month cooking, and they can, freeze stuff for, 6 months, and it works really well for them. One of the other handouts I have for you is what's in your freezer and what's in your refrigerator. And that's really important, because lately I've been taking inventory, and I just found that we had, four different packages of bagels in three different freezers. And so, remember, I have a family of 7 living here now, and a daughter who has 6 little ones. So we eat a lot of different foods at different times, depending on who's here. And so I do keep a lot of things on hand, but one freezer in particular, the chest freezer, is where all of the things like the bagels, the family, the boys take, big, things of ice. They freeze blocks of ice. They'll fill up an old apple juice container full of water and freeze those to just put in the big construction ice cooler instead of having to buy crushed ice that doesn't last as long and is not as cold. So that big chest freezer is where all the bread is supposed to go. But in helping me take groceries in, I think it got put every which way. So that's one of the things that I had to go back to is get my list out, which is laminated. And then I have a list of what's in each place. So I know what's in the fridge. I know, because it's just like, I thought we had something for leftovers one day. I thought we had plenty of chicken cutlets, but the kids had been eating it at lunchtime and I didn't realize that. And that's what happens when you have teens with bottomless pits. So, so now they're supposed to let me know or ask, you know, Mom, are you saving this for dinner? Or I tend to tell them, you know, we've got enough chicken cutlets. I'm going to make chicken parmesan. We had chicken and spaghetti one night, and so now we're going to do chicken parmesan another night, but I'm going to wait two or three nights before we have it. So, you know, that let's save that. Or I'll even put leftovers in the freezer that if I've overcooked for something, and we'll have that another time and I'll pull it out. But if I don't have it on the front of the freezer, it's a laminated thing, so I have it all, you know, written out. And then what I do is I take a marker and I highlight it. When we take it out of the freezer, I just wipe the highlight off. So if it's highlighted, I know I have it in there, and that's really easy to see at a glance. You can do it all different kinds of ways. You can just take a marker, you know, and cross it out. And I just stuck one of those little magnets to an erasable marker and just put it up on the freezer. Does it fall off the freezer? Yes. You know, do I have to go scrambling for another one? Yes. So you can do one. At one time, I think I got frustrated and I just printed it out, crossed it out. And when I didn't have any more of whatever, I would have to write it in if I got something new. So that ended up being more of a mess, but it was a lot less stressful for me to have to go run upstairs and get another marker or send somebody upstairs to get it. You know, if you keep your erasable markers, you know, close by, that helps as well. So whatever method works for you, you know, do that. But the bulk cooking really works for me. I made lasagna last week, and I made 4 trays of lasagna. I'll have to make lasagna again before the holidays, because we tend to have lasagna at Thanksgiving and at Christmas time because my in-laws all expect it. In fact, they forego the turkey and ham and anything else we have and would rather have the lasagna. So, you know, some people like it, some people don't, but it's kind of tradition around here. So I only make that, you know, maybe, you know, 4 or 5 times a year. I don't make it a lot. And when I do make it, I make a lot of it so that it is available. I can just pull it out of the freezer, let it thaw the night before, and it's a great thing. I bake that way. I make these homemade donuts, and I do the same thing. We cook some fresh, and I make 3 times the recipe, and the rest I put on baking sheets on wax paper. Once they freeze, I throw them into a freezer bag, and the night before we take them out, we put them on a tray. Stick them in the fridge outside, and then the next morning, whoever gets up first just takes them and puts a dish towel over them. I have specific dish towels for my baking things. And I love to do that because I can put things like coconut oil or wheat germ or, you know, the things that are better for you in that baked good. So I feel better about it. So, you know, we're not buying, you know, donuts, and we don't have, you know, we do have a grocery store that has donuts, but we don't have donut shops nearby. And even some of the chains that are local, my kids don't like the donuts there. So that's a good thing. And it's amazing because our homemade donuts are a little bit more hearty. They do get light and fluffy, but they don't eat as many of them. So that's another plus as well. So baking ahead and cooking, you can do some power cooking that day and then be able to save leftovers and just make sure that you have labeled it on your freezer. Again, there's a handout on episode 97 so that you'll have it at hand and you'll know what's in your fridge and your freezer. If you don't want it, you know, right on your fridge or freezer, I don't like things on my refrigerator, and now I have a fridge that doesn't have the magnetized front, so I'm really happy. But then you can, you know, put it nearby so you'll know what's there. And we have a master calendar, and I may have talked about this in one of the other podcasts, but I found it at one of the local office supply places, and really it was not a cheap thing, but it probably is one of the best investments I made, because it had little squares, and you can put these tiny little square sticky notes on if you have a special thing happening. So we have a master schedule of all of our events and things going on at a glance that we can see, and we have a bottled water cooler in our house because we're on well. And the RO unit, I don't have a whole house RO unit. That's one of my goals for the next year, is to get one of those, and then I can get rid of the water cooler. But right above the water, where we get our water, that has a big calendar. So you can add, you know, something to the side of that, you know, with what's in your freezer, and then cross things out as you take it out of your freezer and add notes. So just, again, a nice big wall chart kind of a thing, and, you know, it works great. Another thing is starting out with the shopping. Okay, so do you schedule your shopping in? Now, I talked about the different, a little bit about shopping in every little segment here between household and meals, but I really try to schedule my shopping for one time a week. And it's because it's not that I hate shopping. I actually love shopping, and I love shopping too much. And so I have specific stores that I like to go to. So I do it like this. I look at my schedule and I see when we are going to be out anywhere, and that's when I try to plug in that date for shopping. Sometimes you have to go to the store because you've run out of whatever, but for the most part, you can stock up enough and not have to make those runs to the store. I also buy things on sale, and as I just said, I have three freezers. So I have the refrigerator and the freezer that comes with that in the kitchen. I have just a chest freezer, and I'll tell you how old it is. It's over 35 years. I think my husband and I got it like 1 or 2 years after we got married, and that thing does not self-defrost. It tells you how old it is, but it's a great freezer. Every, you know, once a year I have to defrost it, but we try really hard to keep it closed and not open. That's not one the kids stand in front of. And so that's in the laundry room, and then I have a chest freezer in the garage, as well as another fridge out in the garage with a freezer, but that freezer, that was my old refrigerator, and that freezer does not work as well, so we don't put any kind of real perishable. The boys put their ice packs in there and things like that, and the refrigerator section keeps things cool enough for things like I'll put onions and potatoes and spaghetti, boxes of spaghetti, because remember, we live in Florida, and we can't have too many packaged things sitting out. So if we buy things in bulk that I would like to keep in the refrigerator, I can keep it out there. It's also nice to have another place to throw a tray of whatever, you know, like the donuts for the next morning and things like that in there. And we also keep bottled waters in there. So it's stuff that I'm not going to really worry about. I'm not going to keep a lot of milk in there. If I do buy extra milk and keep it in there, I'll put it near the back of the refrigerator. And of course, some of you have dietary needs, and so just, you know, if you buy coconut milk or almond milk, you know, it just gives you some ideas of, you know, of how you can do it or set things up in your home. Okay, so I break it down into the grocery store, the as I told you earlier, and then the warehouse store, and then like the Walmart or Target store, whatever you want to call those. And for household, I normally will buy stuff at the warehouse stores, but I price things out, and I found that sometimes it's cheaper to get it at like a Walmart or Target. Never is cheaper to get it at a grocery store. The only thing that I will get at a grocery store sometimes is a particular type of yogurt. When I was drinking and using almond milk, I would tend to get that at the grocery store. They had, you know, things that I couldn't find as easily at some of the other places. And now it's amazing because, you know, even the bigger warehouse stores are carrying things like the almond milk and the coconut oil and things like that that I would buy. I have a great resource for coconut oil. It is not cheap, but I liked to substitute coconut oil for everything. Like, we no longer use any kind of Crisco. We still use some vegetable oil, but very sparingly, and we do use olive oil and good olive oil. A lot of times olive oil is not real. It's not very strong. My dad tells a story about being in Italy and having oil and vinegar on a salad and the olive oil making him sick because it was 100% olive oil, and we don't get that in the States. They cut it with other oils. If you want to do a whole search on that, you can. I don't keep up with a lot of that, but one of the ways you'll know if you're using real olive oil is, or a stronger percentage of olive oil that's not cut with another oil, is if you use it in a salad dressing. Let's say you're making a Good Seasons salad dressing, and you know, all these places are not sponsors. I'm just sharing some personal information here, what kind of things I use. But if you're making something like that and you put it in the refrigerator and it doesn't get hard, then it probably is not a pure oil, you know. So just look at that. But anyway, so there are specific stores that I get certain things in. So we, again, schedule that. And then clothing, some of them at the warehouse stores, some at discount stores. We have a ton meaning three outlet malls near where I live. So I have found as a matter of course that the outlet malls are only really reasonably priced when there's a big holiday coming up, like if it's a Memorial Day or a Labor Day or you know, the Black Friday. Those are the only days that the sales are just unbelievable, unless you get on a mailing list, and we have a couple of our favorite stores that we are on mailing list for, and they'll send us a pre-notice that there's going to be a big sale coming up, and that really helps a lot in saving money. Otherwise, stores like you know, even our local mall will have a sale, and I'll go into, you know, a big name department store and walk away with a dress for $20 that was a $100 dress. So you just really have to know your prices and look and, you know, be, you know, vigilant for that. I know a lot of you shop online, and that's great. I cannot buy clothes online. You know, there just isn't any way I can do that, but I do shop for specific deals and things like that online. And coconut oil, I think that's where I started with that. I'm sorry, I'm going full circle here. Bear with me, because I just saw my note for coconut oil. I was going to tell you I have a really good source for that, and I will put a link to their website. It is not inexpensive, but if you like to use coconut oil and do not like the flavor of coconut, so I was substituting coconut oil in homemade cookies, that either called for butter or it called for shortening for that chewiness in cookies. And if you've heard me speak before, you know I'm really big on not only flavor but texture in my food. And this coconut oil doesn't have a flavor to it, and it works really, really well. We may be, you know, it may not be the ideal as far as, you know, getting, if you want that coconut taste for you, but for us it's worked really well because none of us like the flavor of coconut, nor do we like coconut. Okay, so let's go to bill paying, my least favorite thing to do. So with bills, I'm going to have to give a little disclaimer here, and we have a bookkeeper, and my husband's company, you know, has employed a bookkeeper for many years, as well as a CPA, and so I was able to ride on his coattails, and I have one for my business, and so it's great. And at one point, we were so spoiled that she just handled everything, and one of the things that she set up for me that was really a godsend was on Gmail, and I don't know if you have it, and this is not an advertisement for them at all, but whatever email client you use, look and see if they have a calendar, and Gmail does, that will sync with your smartphone. And for me, that was an awesome thing to do. So we set up not only upcoming bills, but also I could set myself notifications, and we could also set up a bill pay schedule. So on my computer, on the top toolbar, I have a folder for pay bills, a folder for important, a folder that says building, which is my husband's building information. I have a folder that says affiliates affiliates for my blog and that kind of stuff. I even have a folder that says fun stuff. So that's across the top and things that I can get to very quickly. I have another thing I use. It's called LastPass, and they have a free version of that. And they combined with another thing that I had that used to sync across all our computers with our toolbars. Now, you may not want to do this, and you may not have a business where you need to do this anyway, but I like to keep all of my passwords in one place. And the nice thing about it is that I can even access it on my phone, the LastPass, and it remembers all of my passwords. And, it's something I can download, and it's something that I can use no matter where I am. And the X Marks is the bookmark synchronizer. So I would have computers that died, and then I lost all of my bookmarks, all of my saved places online, and it was horrible. And since I have those two things, you know, it's great because I can now access it from wherever I am on the internet. And so things like my banking, I use a SafeSpot. My computer software, I have the ability to pull up the screen, and I'm shopping safely. I can't remember the name of that this second, but I will post that in episode 97 on Vintage Homeschool Moms for you. And so I forgot what that was called. But anyway, so I can pull this up, and it's safe browsing is what it is. But I have to remember how I did that. So anyway, that's one thing you can do. But the pay bills is awesome because under my pay bills little thing, I have my husband's business. I have our credit cards, our wireless internet, and our cable. All of our bills are right there where I can just click on. And yes, I do pay a lot of things online. The second is the calendar that syncs, and it sends me a reminder. So how do you know what day things come out of your account? And so other than, having a bottomless pit of money and just throwing a whole bunch of money into your checking account and not caring, or having something that is set up that when your account gets low, it transfers from a savings account. You know, most of us don't have that luxury, and we need to keep an eye on, when things are coming out. So we set up the alerts. We also set up a bill pay schedule so that now that I've taken this over, my bookkeeper no longer pays my personal bills or our business bills. She ended up moving out of state, and she still is our bookkeeper, and she logs in and she does the really hard stuff. So that it's, not so difficult for us to be able to, some of the things she does, like with the payroll and things like that for my husband's business, and keeps me on track with sales tax for Media Angels and things like that. But on the Google Notes, there's a thing called Docs. And so she made a master document, which was really in a spreadsheet. And so I could go through and just check off when I paid different things. So just as another set of eyes, she comes behind and makes sure that, I've remembered to pay things. But now that I have the reminder set up on my phone, it's really nice. And I also have a reminder set up via email, which I like better. I do not like my phone telling me anything. I don't know if you're like I am or not. I do not like it when, it is always reminding me about something. So, like, I don't get email notifications. I do get text messages, but I use those sparingly. So one time a week, it will remind me of what's coming up, and then I'll get emails that are a little bit more frequent, and I have those all set up. And I know my paying scheduling for, paying bills. So it has been a godsend because, I don't know about you, but if you ever forgotten to pay your credit card or forgotten to, pay an important bill, you don't want to do that. So it's really nice. And then if you're tight or you have a cash flow situation, you can, you'll know, especially if you're paying online, when is the last date to pay for that. And remember, it sometimes takes 2 to 3 business days to you know, get credited to your account. So you want to leave a little bit of leeway time there. And pay by the deadline. Credit cards, I know you can pay by a certain time, and I believe it's, you know, like 5 or 6 o'clock. It may be 8 o'clock. I don't know. I try not to leave things to the last day. So, you know, those are just some little helpful tips for you, and you can find more information on Vintage Homeschool Moms on episode 97. So thanks so much for listening, guys. I really appreciate it. And I would love, love, love if you would go to iTunes and give me a rating there for Vintage Homeschool Moms. That would really be a blessing to me. And a thank you ahead of time for those of you who have already done that. Just really appreciate it. And also share our shows. There are social media buttons all over the website. And if you have a favorite show and a favorite episode, please share it with your friends. Hey, thanks so much for listening. I really love doing this and hope you enjoy it as much as I do. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.